Christmas. All the sights, sounds, and smells of this season help remind us and reinforce just how different this season of the year actually is. And while Thanksgiving is always a wonderful time to slow down, reflect, and give thanks, nothing beats finishing your leftovers, saying goodbye to your relatives, and decorating your house for Christmas. In many ways, we do the same thing here at church. This is a different time of the year for us, when we put up special decorations and sing different types of songs. And all these things help us remember and celebrate Advent, that season of the Christian year where we focus our hearts, minds, and souls on the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. During the next 4 weeks, we'll be working our way through Advent, with each week leading us closer and closer to Christmas Day. As we do, we'll be exploring different parts of the Christmas story and how the adventure of Jesus impacts each and every one of us. As we start this adventure through Advent today, it's important for us to begin by thinking about what Christmas really is. While it can certainly be many things for many people, at its heart, Christmas is the celebration of God's promises coming true. Don't you just love it when a promise that's been made to you is finally fulfilled? When your trust in somebody is rewarded with more than you could possibly imagine? Well, of course we do. And that love and fulfillment increases exponentially when the promise you've been waiting for is one that you've been waiting a long, long time to be fulfilled. As we ourselves know from experience, faith requires waiting. It requires patience. It requires trusting in the promises of God, even for longer than we might like. But as we also know from our own experience, as well as the witness of Scripture, when God promises you something, anything, He's going to deliver. He'll always make good on His promises to you, no matter how long it takes. So today we're going to open our Bibles and read passages in both the Old and New Testament, passages that both point towards Christ's birth. And as we do, we'll see how different people at different times had to wait on the Lord, and how all their hopes and dreams were fulfilled in Jesus. If you have your Bibles with you, let me invite you to turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 40, and we'll begin our time in that book in verses 9 through 11. So Isaiah 40, 9 through 11, and we'll have it here on the screen as well. So beginning in verse 9, "You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and He rules with a mighty arm. See, His reward is with Him, and His recompense accompanies Him. He tends His flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in His arms and carries them close to His heart. He gently leads those that have young." Isaiah spoke these words to God's chosen people who were once again in exile, having been defeated and driven out of the promised land by the Babylonian Empire hundreds of years before the birth of Christ. By the time that these particular words are spoken, the holy city of Jerusalem has lain in ruins for 50 years, while its former inhabitants languish in captivity. For these reasons, Isaiah's prophecy usually speaks about the abandoned city and these exiles as receiving comfort from God, as well as the promise of salvation. But as Isaiah chapter 40 begins, things are starting to change. Jerusalem and Israel are no longer comforted. Rather, they are now the comforters. They have received this promise of a coming deliverance, and now they're proclaiming this deliverance and salvation to other nations as well as their own. A voice instructs Jerusalem to ascend to a high mountain and announce to the other cities of Judah the glad tidings, "Here is your God." The great shepherd of Israel is now returning to his scattered flock. This Lord who returns to Jerusalem is both strong and gentle. His quality, his strength is like that of a warrior king, and his gentleness is like that of a caring shepherd. Now, both of these qualities are celebrated. As God's people desperately needed deliverance from their exile and captivity, as well as healing and hope from their trauma. True to his word, God fulfilled the prophecy spoken by Isaiah. In the years to come, seismic changes shifted the balance of power in the Middle East, and before long, God's children were released from their captivity and allowed to return home. To this day, Isaiah's words call us to look back and remember the Lord's faithfulness. But in a sense, Isaiah's words also call us to look forward as well. For this prophecy points not only to Israel's salvation and deliverance, but to our own as well. See, it wasn't enough for God to promise deliverance for one group of people. No, the day was drawing near when the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ, would appear and proclaim freedom and deliverance for all people. Just as God had used the prophet Isaiah to proclaim these promises of salvation and deliverance, though, he would use another prophet to proclaim their arrival. As the Old Testament ends and the New Testament begins, God's preparing to do a new thing. He's preparing to send his one and only Son to rescue a lost and dying world. But before he arrives, however, the way must be prepared for him. The people would need someone to ready their hearts, minds, and souls to receive God's greatest gift. This someone, this prophet, this is John the Baptist. And in many ways, the story of his arrival is as unexpected and amazing as Jesus's. In Luke chapter 1, we meet a priest named Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth. Much like Abraham and Sarah from long ago in the book of Genesis, Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous, they were old, and they were unable to have children. While performing his priestly duties at the temple one day, an angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah and spoke these words. "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children in the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." God knew the hearts of Zechariah and Elizabeth. He knew their humility and their righteousness. He knew that the prophet who would prepare the way for Jesus would be well equipped for his task by having these two as his parents. Much like the people in exile that Isaiah spoke to, Zechariah and Elizabeth have lived with a mixture of agony and hope for many, many years, enduring silent suffering on many fronts while never losing faith in God's promises. Finally, the appointed day and time arrive, and Elizabeth gives birth to their baby boy, John. As he held their child for the very first time, Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke these visionary prophetic words. "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant. the oath he swore to our father Abraham to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. The fulfillment of promises past, the vision of promises yet to come. In these words, Zechariah brings together Old and New Testaments as he proclaims God's faithfulness to the Israelites, who are now ready to fulfill their end of their covenant with God by proclaiming God's salvation to the rest of the world. A child of Israel, Zechariah's very own son John would be chief among his people in preparing the way for the Lord's salvation. This revelation was nothing new, however, as even Isaiah himself prophesied of John and his role way back in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 through 5, where Isaiah speaks of a voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Zechariah and Elizabeth's son, John the Baptist, would become that man in the wilderness, calling people to repentance and preparing the way for Jesus. He'd be the one proclaiming salvation, not from slavery and exile, but from sin and death. Rather than rescuing one people from one place at one time, God's prophet is preparing the way for people of all backgrounds, races, and religions to receive this salvation coming through Christ. God's ever-expanding kingdom is now ready to welcome sons and daughters from every nation into a family of faith. Luke's gospel helps us to see that God is finally fulfilling all of these promises that he made long, long ago. And at point after point, Luke's linking his story to the ancient biblical record of Israel, to the patriarchs, kings, prophets, and even the Psalms. In doing so, he helps remind us that the New Testament isn't a new story about a new God. Rather, it's the continuation of an old, old story that's about to reach its climax in Christ. A story about promises made and promises kept. Isaiah saw glimpses of a promised future when God's chosen people would return home to the promised land. God fulfilled those promises. Zechariah saw glimpses of a promised future where his son John would prepare the way for the Lord's salvation. God fulfilled those promises. And John himself saw the fulfillment of every promise, past, present, and future, when he looked up one day and saw Jesus, proclaiming, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Friends, God's promises may take time, but they will be fulfilled. We can always count on God. Isaiah and Zechariah voiced the hopes and dreams of their people, and those hopes and dreams came true in Jesus. Though they lived long ago, their words and witness give us the faith to believe that Jesus can make our hopes and dreams come true as well. What sort of hopes and dreams do you have for your life? Maybe it's peace. Maybe your life's a little rocky at times. Maybe it's purpose and fulfillment. Maybe your life's sort of just spiraling here and there, not really sure who you are or what you're meant to do. Maybe it's forgiveness for something that you've said or done, maybe on Thanksgiving to your family. Regardless of what it is, we've all got hopes and dreams for ourselves as well as others. But we must do more than simply wish in order for to see them realized. We've got to believe. We've got to believe that God loves us, that His promises will come true, and that the life He calls us to live is, in fact, a life worth living. In their own ways, at their own times, Isaiah and Zechariah were laying down the road that would eventually lead to Jesus, a road of repentance, redemption, salvation, and deliverance. But friends, in order to walk this road, people would have to prepare their hearts and minds to receive God's greatest gift. And we must do the same today. Christmas, as we've already said, is the celebration of God's promises coming true. And as we take time over the next 4 weeks to celebrate Jesus' birth, let's not forget what His birth calls us to do. It calls us to repent of our sins. It calls us to believe anew. It calls us to live joyfully in this season. And it calls us to share hope and healing with others. But most of all, it calls us to remember that we can always count on God. Would you pray with me? Father God, what a gift. What a Savior. What a friend. What have we found in Jesus but everlasting love? God, as we enter this Christmas season, as we move through Advent week in and week out, Lord, prepare our hearts to receive your greatest gift. Prepare our minds to think and reflect on what His love changes within us and what it calls us to do and how to live. God, we are people who are not worthy of the hope, peace, joy, and love that we find in Jesus. But God, we will receive your gift with grateful hearts. We will receive your gift and make it the pearl which we hold on to with all our might. And we will make it a gift that we continue to share with others as well. So God, as we remember the promises of old that were fulfilled in Jesus, help us to remember that the promises you've made to us will not be in vain. Help us to remember that you can be trusted, that you are worthy of our trust, Lord, in a world where trust is hard to come by, but you, Lord, are worthy of it. Help us to remember that your love is real and that each and every one of your promises will come true for us like they have come true for so many others. For this and so much more, we give you all the honor, glory, and praise now and forever. It's in the name of Christ, our Savior, that we pray. Amen. As we meditate on the promises of God and celebrate the gift of His Son, Jesus, this is a special time of the year in which we can renew again the faith we have placed in God. So if you find yourself this morning needing to renew that faith in your life or to step out on faith and believe in Jesus Christ for the very first time, I'll be at the back during our closing song here in just a minute to speak with you, pray with you, and receive you into this family of faith. If God has also laid it on your heart to join this fellowship of believers here at Forest Hills, we are grateful to extend that invitation as well. But again, the invitation for all of us this Christmas season is to believe in the promises of God, to celebrate the gift of His Son, Jesus, and to give Him all the honor, glory, and praise that is due Him. Let's stand and sing once again.